You are listening to the Race to 100 podcast, raising awareness of PTSD with Simon Buckton and Chris Young.
It's episode 9.
And as ever, introducing Chris, a 44-year-old recreational runner, currently converting to barefoot running, attempting to run his first marathon and half marathon next year and try an Olympic distance triathlon.
And we have Simon, who you just heard, ex-soldier who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, known as PTSD. He's aiming to run 100 marathons in 100 weeks to raise awareness of the condition.
And don't forget, you can always visit race2100.co.uk. That's 100 the number. And click on the Facebook and Twitter icons at the top to follow the challenge and become part of the journey.
So this week we've got what we've been up to, Simon's next marathon, an update from Simon's Stars, a section on PTSD. We've got another symptom that Simon's going to cover this week. Listeners' messages and questions, result of the last poll, and some thanks.
And we've got a little bit of merchandise as well.
Oh, and we've got merchandise. Merchandise news, yay.
Merchandise news.
Right, so what have you been up to, Simon? You missed last week's podcast and planned marathons due to food poisoning, I understand. Now, for a man like you, I can't imagine food poisoning on its own would be a major problem, but I understand it causes PTSD as well. Is that right?
Not really. No, it doesn't really cause PTSD. It just adds to the general sort of like unwellness
right
on top. And I was quite good, because obviously, you know, we've been doing this for what, nearly 2 months now, aren't we? Or over 2 months. And
yeah,
it's like a slot in the weekly calendar for me now. It's become a part of my life. So it was quite, I think you were quite good last week to be there by yourself. It's, you know, we are like Little Large now, whatever you want to call us, whatever else we've been called.
Northern South.
Northern South, yeah. Many good looking me and you. All these kind of things at the end of the day. But I did miss it, and I'm not absolutely sure what happened. I think it may have been some cutlery that hadn't been washed properly or something like that. I'm not really sure, but I tried to go to bed on Monday about 11 o'clock at night, and just felt, you know, really sick. And normally a lot of these things, because of what's going on in my life, I just, yeah, whatever kind of thing, just write it off.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I'll be okay tomorrow kind of thing. And I wasn't. And so, yeah, I did do the equivalent of 5 consecutive marathons in the bathroom. I'm sure my neighbours were really happy that they heard the toilet flushing about every 9.3 minutes. And yeah, so I thought it was going to be like a 24-hour thing, and it just did not settle. I got weaker and weaker, lost 12 pounds in weight. I'm not suggesting it was the best diet in the world, but yeah, lost a lot of weight and just got weaker and weaker kind of thing. And was hoping that I might get to the marathon on, supposed to be doing the Enigma Poppy Marathon. And the thing is, it's the second Enigma Marathon that I've missed now, so I don't know what... I know Foxy knows that I'm unwell, so but you know, it's a bit gutting to when you've been given a place to a marathon and you can't take it up, it's a bit gutting. But
yeah,
I did have a chat with Helen and just said, you know, it's just not the thing is, you know, this it's a long challenge, and as I keep saying, it's not about the marathons for me. I'm not here to break any world records. It's of no consequence if it takes me 3 years or 9 years. It's pretty irrelevant, really, as long as I run the marathons. So, you know, I'll pick them up somewhere along the line. Still got a long, you know, long way to go. So didn't go on the Friday. And then bizarrely, by sort of like Friday tea time, started to settle down a little bit. And then I hate missing parkrun. So I went to parkrun on Saturday morning, and we had a poppy run. So there was a lot of people, 100 people in the park. We did observe 2 minute silence, or the Pete, who was the run director of the day, asked that we observe 2 minute silence, and the other people in the park stopped as well, which is really good, immaculately observed. And it's always a tough time for me anyway, because the lead up to Remembrance for me is historically is by far the hardest week. So on top of not being well, food poisoning, and then leading up to the toughest, it's 2 days in essence, unless Armistice Day falls on the Sunday. So you've got Armistice Day on the Friday, and then you've got Remembrance Sunday, being this year the 13th of November. So it was tough anyway. I was really, really struggling on top of everything.
Yeah, I bet.
But yeah, I went to parkrun, and it's hard not to smile at parkrun, especially at our parkrun. Had a good laugh there. You see all the people that you want to see in this and the kind of thing. So had a brilliant time there. It was sunny. It was a fantastic day. I think it was 16 degrees by 10 o'clock in the morning. It was absolutely fantastic. So yeah, enjoyed that. And then on Sunday I went to the Cenotaph in Leeds. My dad and his partner came over from drove from Billington, which is about 50 miles, just to come down for that, which is brilliant. And then I went with another guy who I've met, another veteran who I met at parkrun.
You're looking very smart. So I saw a picture of you on Facebook with all your medals and an 80s tash by the looks of it.
it's actually longer than I've grown it longer than last year. If you look at last year's photo, then I've now gone right to the bottom kind of thing, and it is now getting a bit like an overgrown bush. It's starting to get annoying, and I am thinking that if I carry on with this Movember, will there be any pictures of me at Remembrance without this dash thing?
No, probably not.
It'll just probably turn grey somewhere down the line, and you won't be able to see it. I don't know what will happen. It'll go grey and black or something.
It was like, I dare anyone not to look at that picture, and in their head it will start going.
Is it not Magnum PI?
No, definitely YMCA.
Oh no, he's got a walrus, hasn't he? He's huge, isn't he? Old Magnum's is Tom Selleck, and it is huge. But yeah, you've got to do your bit for Movember. If nobody knows what Movember is, it's a month where all us men, and I'm sure if ladies wish to partake as well, they can, to grow some furry thing on the top of your lip to highlight men's well-being, and I think mainly towards. I think it's prostate cancer, isn't it?
That's right.
Aims to raise awareness of. So we all go do funny things, and it is quite funny at parkrun to see the varying stages. You know, the one that's got like a little bit of fluff after 2 weeks, and the one that's got the huge mammoth sort of like thing. And it's quite cool. So Remembrance Sunday was. I tend to look at it as. I always tend to look at that as the start, the end, and the beginning of my year, because I then feel. Like a lot of tension goes, I can say goodbye. Like I said, I was there with another parkrunner called Stephen. He's a prison officer now, but he was in most of the same campaigns as me, in a lot longer than me. He was in 22 years, so in a lot longer than me. It was a tough day, was a few tears. Put to bed again for another year, and I'm going to crack on. So it's been certainly a... an entertaining and another differing week in the life of the Simon Buckton Roadshow. Anyway, enough about me. What have you been up to, Chris?
Well, I did miss you last week. It felt very strange. I mean, we did manage to get the podcast out because we had a very brave Millie Edwards who came and did an interview.
It was very brave, and it was harrowing, but it's the type of thing that actually, this is what we decided to do with the podcast, didn't we? We decided that it's not just about military and ex-service and PTSD. It's about, I and you now know there are, many other people out there who suffer more than me and have had more horrible things than that have happened to me. So, again, just my thanks. I have passed on my thanks, but well done. Because the thing is, you'll now know how much it takes out of people afterwards as well. It can be tough afterwards once you've talked about these things, and I think she did struggle for a couple of days.
Absolutely.
Afterwards, it does feel like you've it really drains a life out of you. It's like it's something coming out of your body, kind of thing. So anyway, well done to her, and well done to you, Chris, for being tactful and you know sensitive towards it, because it's, you know, especially for a lady.
Yeah.
You know, man to man at the end of the day, we can probably do it, and maybe woman to woman, but for a woman to speak about things like that to a man, and also, to be fair, no disrespect to you or Chris, but you know, you haven't had that kind of thing happen, so you know, it's even more brave, probably.
Yeah, no, I've got, you know, I have no idea what it feels like, obviously. I mean,
but it's good, and you know, we are the thing we need to hold on to is the fact that we are allowing them to talk, which is what we wanted to do with a podcast, and it's also allowing, because I think for them people, it can help, you know, relieve some demons. But it also means that you get to talk to and you gain more understanding, as does other people themselves. So it's a win for me. It's difficult, but it's a win-win. So, you know, well done.
Okay, and in terms of my running now,
have you been running as well?
I have been running.
Running.
My week, well, 2 weeks really. I went out for a barefoot run again in my Merrell trail gloves and did 5 miles. Because I'd managed to do 5 miles and get a few aches the other week, I thought, oh, well, I must be able to do it again. But it was a bit too much. So I ended up with a really sore left Achilles.
Silly boy.
Yeah, I know. But you know what it's like. Can't help yourself, can you?
No, I'm no one to talk. I don't know why I'm saying silly boy.
No.
I am a bigger silly boy.
But the first 3 miles felt really good. And I must say, I still really do prefer running barefoot. It feels, to me personally, it feels a lot more natural, and I love it. But it's just, it does take a long time to get your body used to it, because I've been used to wearing padded shoes since you started walking, really. So it takes a lot of converting. But I'm going to persevere, and I just won't do 5 miles for a while. I'll cut that back. So I did go out 2 days later, and I was adamant that I wanted to do an 11 mile run so that I was increasing my long run distance, and it was the hardest run I've done this year, because I still had soreness from the barefoot run, but it didn't seem to get any worse, so I thought, well, I'm gonna do it, and I did the 11 miles, so that was good.
Well done.
But the moral of the story really is, if you are thinking of trying barefoot, just take it really slowly. Even if you think it feels great, just do it really slowly, build up very, very slowly. And even if you don't want to do, you know, if you're not aiming to go barefoot, I would really recommend people just try even 1K doing it, just so you can feel it, because it does feel nice. And I think it helps to strengthen bits of your foot and your leg that maybe don't get used that much when you're in padded shoes. So I would say that.
Well, it's like going more off-road as well, because then it spreads the load.
Yeah, exactly.
On your muscles. If you're going historically, if you're going down the same bits of road and tarmac, your muscles have muscle memory. So you'll start to have problems in the same areas, where as at least if you go off road, you know, it's completely different terrain and bumping up and down and this other kind of thing. And then, to be fair, you then do spread. There's no one point of impact. Then it's all over, and then it strengthens as well. It certainly strengthens your ankles, ankles, calves, calves. And it's much better to do that. But I think, as with all my stars, I think we'll be having a little chat and a look at your long terms. We don't want you to be peaking, like, you know, in about 3 weeks' time, up to 20 miles, and you're not running until next year, because I know somebody else who's done that recently, and they're going to peak far too early. So but it's good. The thing is, it's good because it's a learning curve. It's a learning curve for you, and then again, other people can hear about the about the learning curve. Did you not go to parkrun?
No, I couldn't. Because I'd gone out and done this barefoot run and then the long run. There's no way I can't do park run slowly. It just wouldn't be physically possible for me to do it. So
can't,
I think I could have done. Well, I wouldn't be able to hold myself back. I'll be there on the start line, and I'm going to go as fast as I can.
there is, you see, Chris, because then you could say, right, I'm going to go along and I'm going to do an average pace, and so that then I've got like a recovery run.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be able to do it. I just wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, you would if I told you, you would be doing it, wouldn't you?
I would if you lived closer and you told me.
You could offer your services as a 30-minute pacer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There you go.
So I'm normally not very sensible, as my wife will contest.
No.
But I was. I am taking this marathon very seriously. I'm, as they say, respecting the distance. So I thought, well, it would be daft to go down there, run 5K fast and pull my Achilles or something or snap it. So I decided not to. Saturday, I still didn't feel that it would be sensible to do anything. So I just went on my turbo trainer on my bike. But this week I've been out for a small run and it's all feeling good again. So my target is to do a step back week, as they call it, and probably just do a 10-mile long run. But then I want to start upping it to 12 miles next week, with a little bit of barefoot running mixed in. And I am really tempted, and you may warn me off this, but I'm really tempted to do a half marathon in December so I can kind of get that one out of the way before the end of the year.
So you're doing Brighton, which is in March, April,
something like that, isn't it?
April 20 something.
April, yeah. And I've got a half marathon at Silverstone as well, which is March or April, something like that.
Well, the thing is, what I would say to people is, if you really, the marathon running program should start probably around late December, early January for you.
Yeah.
If you peak too early and you reach, you might have 2 weeks or something like that where you've missed that point in the marathon. I'm saying you're going to get around, but at the end of the day, you might just drop off and the intensity might drop off. And then that's when you start to question yourself and go, oh, I really wish I should be running now or want to do a marathon now. It's hard to stay within, within a program when it's the end goal.
But I hate believing what I'm told. So what if I got to 15 miles as my long run and then just stayed at that until I hit the point where I'm supposed to be at 15 miles on my build up anyway?
Because there's whole reasoning and working backwards in a plan. So we would work from the day of the marathon backwards so that you gain strength and conditioning and mental strength over that whole period of time. If you then reach that 3 weeks early, the knock-on effect will take you all the way to the marathon. So you could get to the marathon and you could be fatigued, because at the end of the day, if you're still doing intensity up to even up to a month outside of that marathon, you could suffer within the marathon. So there's no point.
So 15 miles would be too much.
Because it'll have a knock-on effect into the next week. You will slightly go into next week, say 2% heavier or more tired, more fatigued. And then if that trend continues, what will that percentage be? By the time you get to marathon, you might be 20% down.
Right.
So and also in your head. So with other people, it's like yours is slightly different. With some people, it's like getting them out there. So they're getting them back on the horse. So with Helen, it's getting her the confidence.
Yeah.
To know that she can go out there and do it. With you, you're the opposite end of the scale. You have the...
Confidence, definitely.
You have the confidence and the enthusiasm, but that can be sometimes far worse, because with Helen, I can say, actually, no, you're going to be fine. All you need to do is the 3 miles and then you'll be fine, which you listened to at the weekend, and she did fine at the weekend. You, at the end of the day, there is, there's a whole glory at the end of it, not now. So with you, it's like, well, I think I can do a half marathon now. What I'm saying is, yes, you probably could do a half marathon now, but you're looking at the bigger, you're looking at the short-term goal. I'm looking at the end goal. The end goal for me with you is you run comfortably and well a marathon in April, not right. That you'd run a half marathon now.
So what should I do now?
yours is, if you're wanting to do the barefoot running, yours is... working around converting, so yours is confidence within barefoot running, not confidence within running. You're fine to go out there and run. I know I can say to you, go out and run a 10 miler tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you'll go out and run a 10 miler tomorrow. But for you, you are still lacking in confidence around the barefoot running, because you're like, actually, I'm hurting today and I'm not sure if I go out to tomorrow. So you are questioning within that. So yours will be, at the end of the day, when we finish at another time, will be to look at what you can do around that and gain your confidence in that, because you're not a confident barefoot runner.
Sure. Okay.
You see what I mean? And that there is a huge difference. If you're, I mean, for instance, if you're aiming to run the marathon barefoot, and you're already lacking, you know, so you can be a confident runner, Chris, but if you go to that marathon, and you're not confident in your barefoot running, you'll start off at mile one and you'll suffer all the way around. So, and this is why on this Simon Stars, it's all an individual thing because.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not planning necessarily to do the marathon barefoot anyway. The plan is to just, it may take, they say it can take up to 2 years to convert. So my plan is just to make sure I'm conditioning the muscles all the time and trying to mix that in with what I'm doing. Question would be, most people, you know, if people like, I go out to run because I really enjoy it, and the longer the run I can do, the more I enjoy it. So there must be a level, and this is the bit that always confuses me about all these plans on the internet, is that it's a this week plan, as if, okay, let's say it's a, I don't know, a 15-week plan or something. It's as if you're starting as though you've never run before almost at the beginning of it, but people, you know, I don't want to go out and say, right, now I'm going to back off to doing like no more than a 3-mile run when I go out. I want to be able to still do a long run every week. So that's the bit that is very hard to find information on what that level should be.
Well, you can, but again, you're looking at short-term goals. I'm looking at long-term goals, and that's where the difference is. So you're
I'm looking at enjoying it as well.
I can go and do it now. But the thing is, I could say go out and do a 7-minute. I want you to go and do a 7-mile run this Sunday. But I want every mile to hit 8:30.
Right. Okay.
So your goal will then not be the 7. You know, it will be the 7 miles, but it'd be like, okay, I want a consistent run. So you might have done. You might go and do 12 miles where you do a 7:53 and 9:01 or something like that. But there's no consistency. And then again, for you, that's building consistency that you'll take to the marathon. If you don't have a consistent marathon with consistent times, you'll struggle. You'll either go out too fast or too slow, or at the finish you'll have nothing left, or you'll be okay. So I can say to you, okay, well, let's reduce the mileage a little bit, because you don't need that. You don't need them long runs right now. You don't need them. You don't even need them in your head, Chris, because you're settling your head. Helen needs long runs because she needs them to know in her head she can run 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 miles. If I said to you, go and run 12 miles, you will run 12 miles. Yeah. So with you, yours is reining it in, and yours is making sure that actually you don't go too far and too far beyond, because that is as critical as someone who's off. In fact, it's easier to deal with someone who's not on the horse than someone who's bolting on the horse down the road at 10 miles an hour. So yours is, okay, let's work. You can do a longer run on a Sunday, for instance, but let's make it something. Let's not just make it, I'm going to do 12 miles. That doesn't do anything. We know you can do 12 miles. We know you can probably do 15 miles. But can you do a consistent 7-miler? So I'll set you a target this week then. So
you can do.
Hey, now you've done it. So you can do, right, 9 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, at 9 miles at 9-minute miling. So you only have 5 seconds either side of nine. So you've got 8:55 to 9:05. And then see then when you have the added, you know, in your head to work out, I'm not just going to go out and run there too fast, too slow. Now I'm going to pace 9-minute miling and then try that for 9 miles and then see what that does.
Okay, done. I will let you all know how that goes next week.
There we go. We've just gone... We've just gone on one of our little wandering missions into the unknown.
Simon's last marathon.
Right, so your last marathon.
I didn't have one.
Computer says no.
I'm not even going to say out how that sounds. It sounds like a mutual friend of ours from somewhere else that we won't talk about. I was due to run the Enigma Poppy Marathon last Friday. I didn't have one on the Sunday because I would probably never run on a Sunday because it's Remembrance. And so no marathon, nothing more to say apart from, again, my apologies to Mr. Bailey, who runs Enigma. Thank you very much, and I think I'll be down to your Christmas double marathon.
Simon's next marathon.
Okay, so on a more positive note, how are you feeling for your next marathon, and where is it?
Yeah, raring to go. Down to a wonderful place called Luton.
Oh, it's getting a bit close to me.
in Luton in Bedfordshire. Did I say Bexhill or did I say Bedfordshire? Yeah, I'm just checking. A little private joke there. I'm hoping there's not a Luton in Dumfries or some Northern Ireland. Luton. Really heard not a lot about it. I think it's quite a small marathon. So I am looking, you know, forward to getting back out there. I said I don't really know what state I'm in. I've done a couple of runs, and I was out running actually. Even when I was ill, I was out running last week, and I do feel a lot stronger because I'm turning my legs over now in the middle of the week, which I wasn't doing anything. So I think I've learned a lesson there to keep your legs going through the week, not doing anything silly, but it's been nice just to be able to go out and do a run with no consequence. Just go out, get your kit on, and go run. And the quite unseasonal weather, I think, helps, because normally by this time of year, you've got, you know, two pairs of gloves, two hats, five layers of clothing, your tights, your shorts over your tights. Yeah, you get the idea, kind of thing. Lots of kit on. And it's been
quite... Oh, you're northern worth.
Yeah, well, there is at least a 15 degrees difference between Watford Gap and the north. I'm looking forward to it. Get back on the old wagon and get on with it and steam towards Christmas. So we're on to Simon Stars. If you don't know, you haven't been following, it's a small group of people who were attempting to run their first marathon next year, and I decided that I wanted to mentor them in a mental way, because that's where I'm trained to help people overcome the mind side of marathons, which actually is probably about 90% of a marathon. We've got a couple of people now, and each week we're just going to be either hearing from them, or you can actually follow them. They're now writing blogs, and it's on the race to 100.co.uk. it's on the Get Involved and Simon's Stars, so you can read what people are saying. And actually it'd be nice if people can support them and leave a few helpful comments. So if you haven't listened to last week's podcast, the incredibly brave Millie Edwards, who suffers from PTSD after being subjected to domestic abuse by her partner, she's now agreed to become one of my stars and is aiming to run the Reading Half Marathon next year. Don't really want to...
It doesn't set her up for an extra, extra distance.
By the way, did I tell you it was a marathon and not a half marathon? Actually, I'm quite honoured that... that she would ask, and it's going to be completely different. I think there may be more hurdles in some ways for Millie to overcome, but then the prize will be much greater for her. And you know, I am honoured, and I am, you know, it's great that I can give a little bit back, especially as most of the people that are doing these are team members and volunteers. So I think it's my little way of giving a little something back and seeing them, you know, achieve something. So I believe now we've got a short update from two of my other stars, which is Helen and Laura.
Hi, it's Laura with my update for how things have been going for me. I've had a bit of a rough week this week. It's been probably one of the most difficult weeks I've had for about 6 months as regards to how I'm feeling mentally and motivation to get out and run. I still have been out running. I've run twice this week. I did a 4 mile on Tuesday, and then I ran 3.5 mile on Sunday morning. But I did miss my Thursday night run and my Friday cross train spin class this week, mainly because I just did not have any enthusiasm at all to get out and do it, really, just because sometimes depression can be quite difficult to manage, and when you have a bad week, it's not always easy just to say, right, that's it, I'm going, I'm going to do it. I had to kind of fight myself a little bit to get my trainers on and to go and to stop making excuses as to why it was that I wasn't going to run. I think Thursday night's excuse was I didn't have any clean running socks, which is absolutely ridiculous, but I think those are the sorts of excuses that you tend to find when you really don't want to get out there and do it. So, but this week is a new week. I feel much more motivated. I'm back on the self-hypnosis every day, which I know is the missing a few sessions. That is the reason that I've kind of had a bad week this week. So I'm back on that every day and I'm kind of up for the challenge. I've only got now 2 weeks until my 10K. So I'll be back out running tomorrow with running group. And I think tomorrow I've got to do a 3 mile run at threshold pace. So that could be interesting. So yeah, that's how I've got on this week.
Hi, this is Helen from Simon Stars with my weekly update. It's been a bit of an odd week for me. Last week I was absolutely exhausted for most of the week. I have got a history of ME, so I've got to be very careful that I don't overdo it. And I do seem to take a lot longer than most people to get over viruses and sinus infections and stuff. I managed 3 runs. I did the 4 miles last Monday afternoon. And after chatting with Simon, was going to try and do just 2 3-milers during the week so that I didn't go into my 10K race at the weekend with tired legs. 3 miles went okay on Wednesday morning, but Friday something just didn't feel right. I tried some different trainers. They just felt really heavy. My foot was starting to hurt. So I decided that 2.5 miles I'd had enough. I was going to walk home. Till the postman saw me, told me off and told me that I could actually run the last little bit, and he was right. So I ran it. I was in two minds on Friday whether I was fit enough to run the 10K at the weekend. But I spoke to a couple of running friends and they convinced me that, yeah, I probably was going to be okay. So I went along Sunday morning with my running buddy. Very, very misty morning up in the Dalby Forest. It was beautiful scenery. First time I've ever run a hill. I managed to run up the first 2K of it. Not very fast at all, but I kept going. Had to walk a little bit between the 2K and 3K mark because I just wasn't used to it. And my ankles were absolutely on fire. But I have to say, it hurt more walking than it did running. So at 3K, we started running again. Went into the little the steep downhill stretch, which was quite scary really because it was very muddy, very slippery, and I was absolutely paranoid I was going to fall flat on my face. Didn't feel safe on that surface at all. Very soon after, we come out to sort of probably the 4K mark, 4.5K, we got our rhythm and we thoroughly enjoyed the run right up till about 8.5K where it started to climb again and we were just starting to feel a bit tired. So the good news is I conquered the 10K. I got up the hill and I finished, and I did it in just over 109, which, considering the hill at the start, I'm really, really pleased with. Have a little 5K next month with my daughter. We're going to do the RNLI reindeer run. And then the next one is my first half marathon in January. I'm pretty confident that I'm going to get through that because I've got some fantastic running buddies out there. And I think they're going to keep me going. More updates next week.
Right, we have another PTSD symptom that Simon's going to explain this week, and it is emotional numbness. So over to you, Simon.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. As last week we did obviously a longer piece. The week before now, we did a little bit of a longer piece because I had a period of like a difficult time, so it was good to talk about the whole range of symptoms. But we're back to an individual symptom this week, and actually one that a lot of people, especially when you're in a relationship, find tough is the emotional numbness. And just to explain, emotional numbness, it can just mean that you don't feel love. You can't say you love somebody. You can't say anything on an emotional level. You can't get physically close to people. And I don't know, easiest way maybe to describe is, I don't know, my dad comes towards me, wants to give me a hug, and I just drop my arms to my side, and there's no feeling or anything in the day, and I think your body is trying to fight the some of the symptoms of PTSD, and you just tend to shut down, and it's quite apparent in a lot of forces people, and a lot of people who have been through trauma, and a lot of people who are in maybe stressful, high profile jobs kind of thing, that you use this, you have this numbness kind of thing where you don't really give any feeling or emotion out. You can't even write any form of emotion. It is easier for me. Normally when I am struggling with a bit of this numbness, I tend to start writing emails and I start writing to people because I can often say the word without actually feeling it. But the other person at the other end might still feel something from that. So I might write to Susanna, my partner, and say, I love you. But I might not be feeling it at the time, but I'm saying it, and it will still mean something to her. But it can be extremely difficult for anybody around you if to imagine that, I don't have children, but I would really struggle if at the end of the day my kids came up to me and I was numb like this and I couldn't say anything to them, kind of. It can be more devastating around children like that. Or it affects anybody that's close to you because then they don't know how to approach you. They don't know whether, because it can offend people in the day if they come up and they say, oh, I care about you, this and other, and I'm like, I either say nothing or I just say, yeah, whatever kind of thing. It can sort of like appear really personal. It is really personal, but it is another symptom kind of thing. And people out there who have PTSD or suffer from PTSD, or in fact, probably many mental health conditions where people would start to shut down. And again, it's your body. It's like if you're driving in a car and there's a bus coming and you think the bus is going to hit you. You start to try and like curl up in a ball and get smaller. Well, in effect, that's your emotions are doing exactly the same thing. They're going to one area. They're fighting to keep you alive. And so, you everything else is shutting down kind of thing. For me, it's one of the toughest parts. And again, something that no one's going to actually see unless they're around you. A lot of the time, it's something that you would have to gauge from a person over a period of time. You wouldn't see if you just met somebody kind of thing. You wouldn't get it. You might just think, oh, they're being rude or they're being off or they don't like me or something like that kind of thing. And I always say it's never personal, but then I can try and understand on the other, if I was on the receiving end, I would probably find it very personal. Especially when, I have people in my life who deeply care about me and try to understand. But I think things like that are very, very difficult to understand. Even if you see an illness, it's still very difficult to understand. So emotional numbness is, again, it might seem like a small thing, but it's another symptom that can be destructive of your relationships. It can be destructive if you're in a job. It can be destructive if you've got children, friendships, and this sort of the kind of thing. It's another very destructive, and again, another part of a whole complete set of symptoms and a terrible sort of illness. So if, and I can only really relate this to war and to military, but again, if you do know somebody who is military or have just come back from war or something like that, you may then start to recognize and see that people always say, oh, they've changed kind of thing, and sometimes they'll be seeing the emotional number, they'll be saying, why they're not the happy lucky go person, why they're not reaching out, why I want to go to hug them, are they just lifeless kind of thing. So again, maybe it's another useful tool to recognize that if somebody has been through a traumatic situation, not even just again the military, a traumatic situation, that there may be something going on, maybe look a little bit beyond that and still reach out to them, because you know somewhere something will stir and they'll still be an emotional person which has gone very, very deep down. So yeah, that's emotional numbness, which is again is another one of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder.
And with yourself, do you find that it's a constant thing, or do you kind of phase in and out of being able to have more feelings?
I think it goes with the wave. So as I deteriorate, the numbness gets stronger. So I'm normally sort of like involved and in and around everybody and show, you know, my emotions and feelings. I wear my heart on my sleeve. So I show, you know, at the end of the day, even you already know that that's what I do. I'm passionate and I wear my heart on my sleeve.
Yeah.
Sometimes good, sometimes bad in the day, but you know, that's who I am. So if I'm withdrawing that, people in me see it dramatically.
Right.
If I, you know, you can sometimes tell by my language. So I might say to somebody, you know, I don't know, what you've done is fantastic. And then I'll just go, what you've done is okay. And, right. and even that's something known as, because the words don't come out of your head anymore. The words, it's almost like they're dumbed down. So again, you know, like a fantastically sunny day becomes like, well, it's all right, isn't it?
Right.
So, I mean, everything that the physically and mentally you go numb. So again, it's not just the physical thing of not being able to reach out to people. It's the words start to shut down. And I, bit by bit, as I deteriorate or I have a period of time, call it an episode, I shut down bit by bit by bit by bit to the point where I'll then not communicate at all with people on text or on phone or anything. I still normally manage to do email, because again, it's like you can hide it, no one can see it. So I could still say, yeah, I'm fine, thank you very much, and no one can see it, and people will believe you.
Yeah,
no reason for them not to believe you, kind of thing. But yeah, mine is it goes in waves of where, you know, with where I am and what's going on in my life, which is probably the same for everybody in their life, to be fair. Everybody's probably going to have here and there that bit of numbness where you're going to go, you know what, just everybody get away from me, leave me alone, let me have my, you know, my peace and quiet, and you know, I get on. But again, it's probably just more highlighted.
Yeah, it's more of an extreme, I guess.
Yeah, and people who know me will see it happening. You know, they'll physically see it, because I am the type of person that will, you know, obviously more with my female friends, but I will go up, give them a hug and show that physical warmth. And yet there are days when I won't move. Right. I won't do anything at all. And that's dramatic.
Yeah.
You would physically see that. And again, hopefully, you know, now because I've got some more understanding people around me, even though it's still very hard to understand, they at least would have an idea what's going on. They would know, well, Simon's not normally like this, so he's probably not well.
Right, so it's that part of the show where I read out some questions and messages that have come in via Twitter and Facebook for Simon to comment on. We'll start with one on Twitter from Arctic Andy, UK. And he says he just saw a trailer for the new Modern Warfare 3 video game on TV and wondered what your philosophy of these games is.
I don't hugely think about it. I personally don't go near any wargaming things. Not to say that, you know, there is no right or no wrong at the end of the day. But I suppose what I'll be thinking is it maybe known that children are on these games nowadays? Is it correct to be introducing children? I mean, you think when we grew up, Chris, in the day, we might have had like a bit of a stick of bit of wood out in the park or something. We pretend to be knights or
yeah,
you know, something like that kind of thing, a bit of a twig or something. You know, we'd have pretend battles. But, you know, these games, as far as I've seen, I mean, they're graphical, aren't they? There's people's heads blowing off and blood, and it's very...
Oh, yeah.
They're it's not, very true and graphical in the day. So, I mean, to an adult at the end of the day, yeah, fine, you know, do what you want to do kind of thing. But my concern is with this is that are you exposing children? Children are on these games, whether they say they're 18 or not, or, you know, they're rated 18. Children are on these games, and they're being exposed to graphical, you know, there's some graphical violence of war, which may tell them that it's correct. And then they think, well, let's go and join the army. Look, we can go and blow lots of guys' heads off,
yeah,
which would quite offend, you know, military people. So I suppose as an adult, at the end of the day, I'm not going to say there's any right or wrong, and people need to go and do what they do. But does it send I don't know, this is a question, but does it send the right message out there to portray that kind of violence? But then you could say the same for films, because films are more graphic because of the advances in technology now. They can make it so real. For instance, I've seen some of these war films, and I believe I'm there.
Yeah,
and a bit harder for me because it can trigger flashbacks.
Well, I was going to say, would a game trigger flashbacks as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if anything related to war or death or killing or that will probably take me, to if a bang in the street and somebody popping a carton on the pavement can take me there, then surely if I'm actually seeing graphical, violence kind of thing, but I'm not going to, there is no right or wrong with it. Just I would question that. Do children really need to see this, this kind of graphic detail?
Okay. Right, the next one's from Andy Ross 75, and he said he knew nothing about PTSD until he started following you a few weeks ago, and he's completing, he said, completing one Chester Marathon killed me.
Well, it's good to hear messages like this, because it proves that if he hadn't heard of PTSD, he does now, and that's what this
is
all about.
That's what it's all about, yeah.
So it makes me, I'm sure it makes you happy, Chris, the fact that we know we're doing the right thing by doing this, because we're getting people who never knew, and hopefully, what I'm hoping now, Andy, is that if you will go and spread the word, and you might recognise, and you might have family or friends who are military, ex-military, you might have friends who've been in car accidents or trauma, and you might now be able to go and say, you might be able to recognise some of the symptoms. So, for me, it's brilliant that we're getting non-PTSD people, as in people who don't know anything about the conditions, because that means we must be doing something right. Also, I was due to go to Chester Marathon, but I ended up at Liverpool. Well done. Hopefully it hasn't killed you, because it must be your ghost that's now talking. So hopefully you're okay. You survived one. So maybe you can either going back, or I don't know, maybe you can join us on another marathon somewhere. I think I might end up at Chester next year. So I don't have to do, I'd rather do another marathon rather than Liverpool again. So congratulations, and thanks for your follow.
Right, one of our regulars, Viv Plods, on Twitter has said, was Remembrance Day better for you this year, Simon, knowing that you're doing great things for PTSD awareness and Help for Heroes?
No, not better at all. I did have a chat with, Steve, I went with, and he he's older than me, and it doesn't get any better. And actually, I'm not sure whether better is the right word. It was, I don't know whether it's heartwarming or not. It was different this year to see younger veterans. So historically, in the last couple of years, I've been one of the youngest in my late 30s. I've been one of the youngest there by 20, 30 years. But this year, there were more women there, women veterans who'd served. And also there were two guys who were 19 and 20 years old, which for me is unprecedented to see people that young. So like I say, I don't know if it's better or for me personally, it's better to see the young generation coming and celebrating and being there to remember, because it always seems to be this World War One, World War Two veterans, and then nobody else existed. All respect to the guys, World War One or Two, but there's been many more conflicts since then, and many more people have died. And it is an act of remembrance for everybody in any war zone that's died. So, in a way, for me, better to see younger generations. And in Leeds, it was absolutely jam packed. So, and all the military there, all the cadets are there, kind of thing. And it seemed to bother people. So, good to see for that. So, for me personally, the act of remembrance does not get any easier at all, because if you're still seeing the fact that we're at now, if there hadn't been any conflicts for 2-3 years, I think it would be easier, because you wouldn't be currently remembering. You wouldn't be remembering the person that died 2 days ago before remembrance. But that isn't the case. There's still people dying even when we're at Remembrance Sunday.
Yeah,
there's somebody dying, kind of thing. When it comes to the what I've done from last year to this year on the PTSD awareness, I'm very proud of that. And people there now know me and actually said that they knew me for that. And so in that respect, awareness has changed a little bit. More and more people are talking about it. So aside that, I suppose I'm more proud of what I've achieved compared to last year. I also have a bit, I can see a clearer future for me, which I couldn't see last year. I was absolutely nowhere at this point last year. Now I see a huge future ahead of me. I have some fantastic people around me that I didn't have last year, and I have a fantastic group of volunteers who are helping me with the challenge that I didn't have last year. So I have focus now that I didn't have last year, and I have some amazing people around me. So I suppose for me, my life is better than it was last year.
Okay, and one more from Twitter, another regular listener of ours, Emma Quinn. Bit of a broad question, this one, so I'm not sure what you want to say, but she's saying, this has nothing to do with PTSD or your marathons, but I am joining the military after college, and I wanted to know, what was your experience?
Yeah, that's...
that's a big question.
Yeah, I mean, I still get asked now, for instance, when I was on BBC Radio Leeds yesterday, I got asked, do you regret? I always seem to get asked, do you regret joining the army? And straight away, I always say no. I don't regret it. In a bizarre thing, if I hadn't have been in the military, I wouldn't be doing this now. I wouldn't be doing the PTSD awareness. I wouldn't be the strong person that I am. I would probably either be dead, on drugs, or turn to crime, or in prison, or probably all of them. So, in a way, the military is shaped in a very positive way how I am. It's given me qualities and ideals where I was sort of, coming out of care, thinking, oh, do I try to go on the straight and narrow, or do I go and follow everybody else and go and start stealing and drinking and this and that and other kind of thing? And I didn't. I chose a better path. So for me, even though the military, I've become ill because of what I saw when I was in the military, the qualities that it's given me, which are highly employable and recognizable by many people, have been an asset. So overall to me, I'd say my experience overall was one of pride. The military's given me a lot of positive tools, a lot of training. They did stand by me, still whilst I was ill. They may not have understood, but they stood by me. Maybe a civilian job, I would have been sacked years before. So I still believe that the military gives a very good grounding for a young person, gives you a lot of qualities. And also, to be fair now, the understanding, and especially in America, the understanding of PTSD or combat PTSD is far, far ahead and greater than in the United Kingdom. So my hope would be for Emma that what's in place for you when you join now in the in the US military would probably be still a very different experience to the UK military, where we're still partly in denial. It doesn't exist. I believe over here they say it's about 4%. Of service people have PTSD, whereas in America it's 20%.
Wow.
And they have proper set up, proper veteran centres where a veteran can just walk in and go, hey, I'm not feeling well, and they will have everything under one roof will be there, psychiatry, medicals, everything will be there. Kind of. So the setup in America is much better.
Yeah.
So I would still recommend it if you want to do a life-changing experience. The military is not a job. The military is a 100% 24-hour-a-day commitment where you could die. And people who pretend that you don't or you couldn't die are a bit delusional kind of thing. So my experience overall, I look back with pride. I affected some positive things, and I'm now affecting things in a positive way because of my military experience. So if I didn't have a bad experience, I wouldn't now be able to be a more positive person and won't be able to affect people. I'd be probably a very, very, very negative person, very, very down and, doing the wrong things in life. So it's your choice at the end of the day. And what I would say is make it your own choice and make it your own decision and try and do it for the right reasons, because I did join for the wrong reasons. I joined to leave the care system and to get away from years of abuse. And it's worked in some ways, but as you now know, it's not worked in other ways. So it needs to be your decision. And at the end of the day, if that's what you want to do, people should back you 100%, and hopefully you'll be successful.
Okay, and one last one on Facebook from Chris Eden. He said, is Simon up for a little run at Catterick Garrison next June in the Ride of Honour? Not sure if you've heard of that one.
Yeah, Chris is a bit of a character. He's a guy who creates awareness around a number of veterans charities, and they all have motorbikes and they do these rides around the country kind of thing. And I met him at the Veterans weekend a couple of weeks ago at Newark. He was down there kind of thing, and he has been trying to publicise, he has been trying to support, you know, what I've been doing kind of thing. I'm always up for a little run. Depends what the little run is. The little run to me is a marathon, so it depends what exactly the you might have to tell me what the little run is. All I know is that, you know, Chris, you're a good guy, and what you're trying to do is excellent. I spoke to you on the phone last week, and if I can help in the limited time and that I have available, then I would always be open and willing to have a look at it. So, you know, drop me a line, and then we'll see if we can do it. If I can borrow a bike and do a marathon on a bike, that'd probably be very nice, thank you very much, but it might break the rules that we don't have.
Yeah. And lastly, we're just going to put a bit of a shout out for a couple of soldiers who are going back to Afghanistan, redeploying out there reasonably soon. It's called Mud Island Adventures, and you can find them on Twitter at MI Adventures. Just read out what they said. It was, Mud Island Adventures is a small group of outdoor sports enthusiasts based in Salisbury area. On the 7th of January 2012, two of our members, Garrick McMullen and Mark Hughes, will be riding cross-country from Winchester to Eastbourne along the South Downs Way. The route follows 100 miles of rolling chalk downs, which they are planning to complete in around 12 hours. Mud Island Adventures team are doing this in order to raise funds for Forces charity Pilgrim Bandits, as serving soldiers soon to deploy once more to Afghanistan. Both Garrick and Mark also want to help raise awareness of PTSD in our troops. Whether still serving or finding their way on the outside, too many forces, men and women, are dealing with the horrors of war with little or no support. Many more have sadly failed to come to terms with this debilitating illness. If you want to show your support, you can follow MI Adventures on Twitter. Can join their group on Facebook. You can donate to Pilgrim Bandits on bmicharity.com, Mud Island Adventures.
I wish you well, guys, on that. Always good to anybody that's out there trying to get awareness for PTSD and any ex-service charities is a good thing. So I hope it all goes well for you.
Right, now on to the poll, which obviously we let that run for a couple of weeks due to not being able to record the podcast in its usual format last week. Do you want to go through that one, Simon?
Yeah, so the poll was, how many people do you know with a mental health condition? And actually, I don't know about you, Chris, but actually quite the enormity of this, quite...
I was amazed.
Quite surprising, because, amazed. You know, I was thinking one or two people. I mean, I personally, I do know five plus people, but, you know, coming in at number one, five plus gained 46%. And then three gained 16. So, you know, you're looking there at well over, 60%.
Quick maths there.
People, yeah, quick maths there. Over 60% of people know a minimum of three plus people who have a mental health condition, which you know, tells you how you know, wide and, you know, far it spreads. We had 14% knew two or more people, 12% knew one, and 8% knew four, with none at 4% as well. 4%. So,
obviously what we don't know is if this is a bit skewed because maybe the podcast has more people who know or have mental health conditions listening to it because of the point that we're trying to raise awareness of PTSD. But nonetheless, it's still quite an eye opener to me.
It is, yeah. I'd thought maybe one or two, but you know, maybe it shows a good thing in the fact that what started out, what is around the 100 marathons, to me is now maybe leaning to more towards the mental health and the you know, the PTSD side, and that we're gaining more followers.
Right, so we'll put a fresh poll up on the site today, and obviously put that out on Facebook and Twitter, so you can start voting on that. Now, competition-wise, we haven't had a competition for a week or so. We're gonna try a retweet competition where people can retweet out a message to all their followers, and you'll be able to win a pair of tickets kindly donated by jet2.com. I'm not sure where the tickets are for flying to, but
they're from Leeds Bradford Airport to Leeds Bradford Airport.
So it's a round trip.
So you take off, you circle round, and you come back down again.
Still going to be
just
fun.
just as they're starting to push the trolley down the aisle. Like, do you want a drink? No, thank you. Simon, who has been helping on the sponsorship side, told me earlier today that Jet2.com have kindly donated tickets. We don't fully know what they are for at the moment, but I do believe they go to Belfast and Jersey or okay. Guernsey, one of the two kind of things. So even that would be very nice, and we're very thankful.
Oh,
so,
they should give tickets to Guernsey because we want to find out where it is. That would be great. The first flights to Guernsey.
I nearly said Guernsey. Or how about the Channel Tunnel Islands?
I've heard
they're quite good. You get to go down this long tunnel and you're there.
Wow.
In amongst all the people who are fleeing, the immigrants that are stuck to the bottom of lorries and things like that.
Right, so we'll get that competition going at some point, so keep an eye out on Twitter, because we'll do a retweet competition on that one. If you're not on Twitter, then why don't you sign up? You can at least follow Simon.
Who?
You can follow 100...
you can follow Chris.
You can follow me as well.
Follow
and the rest of the team.
And the rest of the team.
T-shirts. Good news about the T-shirts. If you've been following us on Facebook, you'll see that we've been working on some supporters T-shirt designs.
Just to say, we've now moved on to merchandise, and we're off. We've finished competitions.
Yeah, just in case you didn't work that one out.
T-shirts are not the competition.
No, they're not. Although maybe we'll give a T-shirt away at some point.
Designer T-shirt competition.
So yeah, we have a design agreed, and our good friends at Red Pudsey are going to be printing those up fairly soon, and you'll be able to buy a supporters T-shirt. And what we did is we decided that, because we're trying to raise awareness of PTSD, rather than just having a T-shirt that said 100 marathons, 100 weeks or whatever, it's actually got a little speech bubble on there that says, ask me about 100 marathons, or race to 100 marathons, I should say. So it will encourage people, if you're standing on a start line of a race or a park run or something, it'll encourage people to ask you about it, and then it gives you the ability to spread the word, because I don't know about you, but I find the starts of races can be a bit... kind of twiddling your thumbs, looking around, trying not to stare at people that are right next to you and things. So,
thinking, oh, what's this 100 marathons about?
Yeah, so hopefully it'll last, people will ask you. It'll have the same thing printed on the front and the back, and there'll be technical T-shirts. So we'll let you know when they're available to purchase. And the other thing is we've got some wristbands coming soon as well. And a big thanks to Penta's PR, at Penta's PR on Twitter, who's a fairly new PR company who have... offered to purchase those for us, so we can sell those on and raise some funds for Simon. And there we'll have they'll have the website on race to 100.co.uk and awareness of PTSD printed on them, so you'll be able to buy those as well soon. And I think it's just time for wrap-ups now, which is for Simon to do some thanks for a number of people and sponsors.
As ever, I'd like to thank the team, hard-working group of people who were giving their time again to me and the challenge outside of their own jobs and their own family lives. I'm always thankful every single day for everything what you do. I know we are a team now and we share in the glory and the other bits and pieces, but again, I thank you very much. Also, Sharon Buckingham, who's one of the team members, I believe she did a load of bacon a couple of weeks ago, and sold them at, I think, a police station or something like that, and I think raised £150 that she's given to Help for Heroes. So, absolutely fantastic. That's a lot of money that's gone into the kitty, into Help for Heroes. So thank you very much for that, Sharon. And also, again, a big thanks to who's now my other being down in Norfolk, Simon Blackwell, same initials, who is going to be my partner in my next challenge, who's been picking up the phone. In fact, I'm not sure whether he's probably melted his phone now, he's been that hot, or actually, I'd hate to see his phone bill, but Simon's been helping out, trying to gain sponsorship. He brought Best Western Hotels on board. He's got Jet2.com on board. He got Grays.com, who do little meals on board. In fact, he's just doing an absolutely amazing job helping out, not just helping out the team, helping me out personally. He's just an all-round good guy. And I think he's just... he has a condition with his leg where his leg, lymphedema, I think it is, and his leg all bloats up kind of thing and has to be drained. I think he's just had to retire from playing rugby, which he played at quite a high level, and he's now going to come on the marathon jaunt with me, and he's going to be another guy that I'm mentoring at the moment to his first marathon. So he's joining the clan kind of thing. And again, he's contributed in the last couple of weeks, as and you'll even know yourself, Chris, he's contributed and brought a massive lot of enthusiasm that's amazed everybody. Now suddenly everybody wants Simon to do their sales calls and things like that. But you're not having him because he's helping us. So thanks very much, mate. And you know, also to Callie, your wife, you've both been really supportful, especially in the last week where... You know, you both know that I've been struggling badly, and you were the first people to text and, you know, and try to ring me. So thank you very much for your friendship and for your support.
And what's the next challenge you're doing with him?
It escapes me.
Oh, it's worth a try. I'm going to try every week. One day I'm going to catch you out.
Well, you know partially. You know partially what it is.
Well, I know it's you two.
Is that it? Is that all you know? Did I not tell you a little bit?
Not much.
okay. I'll give you a clue then.
Okay.
50-50-50.
Oh, right. Answers on a postcard, please. What do you think it is? Send us in some messages. Facebook, Twitter, whatever, or some comments on the website, and tell us what you think it might be. Because I honestly don't know. So let's get a bit of guessing going.
I can't remember who actually does know. Not that many people, actually.
Are you not doing it until you're 50?
what are you trying to say? That would be 40-40-40. As I pass through next year, I'll probably be running a marathon on my 40th birthday. It's got to be guaranteed, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I've not looked at what day my birthday is next year. But no, it's definitely 50-50-50.
Okay.
And we'll start in the UK. I then hear it's going to America, so...
Wow.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Good times. Quick shout-out for my sponsors. Without them, it would be an even bigger struggle. We have Reddit Pudsey, who do all the printing and the clothing, who are doing our merchandise range up and running for their kit and clothing helps. Naked for their lovely... non-baked, nice and juicy, non-rubbishy foodie bars, fantastic, eat them every week now. Sunwise glasses, especially even in November when the sun's shining, they're very useful. Running Free magazine, Planet V, who it's actually Jane who advised me on my nutrition, but she's starting a website that's going to be vegans and vegetarians. That's fantastic. KT Tape, who makes sure that my legs don't fall apart. AQL and Accord PR, who give us advice on our press and media releases.
And don't forget, you don't have to necessarily donate money. If you want to help out raising awareness of PTSD, you can donate a tweet if you're on Twitter. Just go to justcoz.org, or if you're listening in America, clz.org /100mara100weeks, and you just click on the button there, authorize the app to your Twitter account, and we will send out no more than one tweet a day through your account. So that just helps to, again, get the message out. As always, Simon is always looking for sponsorship to help with the challenge. It's completely self-funded. So if you know any companies, or you are a company listening and you'd like to get involved, obviously we'll be give you shout-outs in various things, the podcast and Twitter and Facebook. And so please get in touch. And if you'd like, if you've enjoyed the podcast, please go to iTunes and either write a review and or give us a 5-star rating, which again helps to raise awareness, get more people listening. And you can lastly follow us on Facebook or Twitter by going to race2100.co.uk and clicking on the Facebook and Twitter icons. So until next week, it's goodbye from me. I was going to try and think of something new then, but I couldn't. It's terrible, isn't it?
I was thinking of doing it in the style of a person that we were talking about earlier, but maybe I won't.
No.
You've got to laugh, haven't you?
I think actually, to show our respects to the amazing Jimmy Savile, we should say goodbye in Jimmy Savile voices this week. So I was about that then. It's a goodbye from me.
And now then, up here in Leeds, it's a goodbye from Sir Simon.